Hello and welcome to Zero Hanger TV. We are recapping the mid-season draft, which happened last night. I am Phoenix Trinidad, your host, and as always, I'm joined by Mitch Keating, our chief AFL editor. How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
Yep, long night?
We should just cut that every bit, every time you say, I'm with you. How are you? I say good, you say, yep, and then we can just clip that every week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll just intro
that in.
In
post, that's perfect.
Right.
What was your question?
How are you? Was it a long night?
No, it wasn't too bad.
Mid-season draft's a quick one compared to the national draft.
Yeah, it's not quicker than the rookie draft. That stuff is like 7 picks in a second. But yeah, this one was, you know, pretty much a pick every 30 seconds, which was easy enough to kind of stay on top of. And a few selections that were expected and a few surprises, which is usually the case.
Yep. So 19 selections out of the 23 available made on the night, with two ex-AFL players selected. So we'll go through the big talking points. So pick number one, obviously, was Jordy Payne to North Melbourne. So was that the right call?
Yeah, well, that's something that we certainly discussed, you know, probably in our two shoots prior to the mid-season draft, and you know, North certainly might have been tussling with taking the best available talent, and which Payne was certainly one of those, and obviously in their eyes was the best on offer, or do they fill a key position need? And they did manage to do that in their second selection, so bringing in Bryn Teagle, who we'll touch on in a little bit, I think certainly helps their case coming out of the draft, and they'll be pretty happy that if they're getting Payne at one, that they're still filling a list need with someone who can play pretty immediately in Teagle, and Payne could be the same. So, yeah, you know, he certainly could be a pretty decent player for them from the first step, and it'll be interesting to see how where they would have rated him if they were taking him at the national draft at the end of the year. They could have him as something as high as a late first round pick, early second round pick. So they've got that technically for free at the mid-season draft. So he'll come in, can play across all three lines, which is really going to help them. Maybe a forward half player, I think. Yep. Probably not going to get too much of a look in midfield to start if he's playing at some time this year, but still could get some action on the wing or the occasional centre bounce. But I think maybe forward of the ball can certainly get thrown back if they need to. Obviously, they're without Colby McKercher. Zach Fisher's looked okay across half back, but I think maybe it's some of their half forward roles. You know, if Jai Simpkins has been absent, they've probably lacked in that area. So, yeah, look, he'll offer them something potentially this year as well, and it could really be in any role they like as a kind of good moving inside outside player. So yeah, I look, certainly not the wrong call to take him with how their second pick turned out. So should be pretty good, and I think the other clubs that were selecting after them will be pretty happy as well.
Yep. Absolutely. So pick number two went to the Tigers. So they took Jacob Blight. They also took Campbell Gray at pick 16.
Yeah. So on Blight, probably the one I was most excited for in leading up to the draft, probably arguably the most ready-made or out of those that don't have AFL experience. And yeah, he'll fit right into the Tigers. He was the first of only in the top 7 selections that only went for a shorter term contract, which we'll go through those lists a bit later on as well. So yeah, that's going to be really interesting to see how he goes in just a 6-month period, but I'd suspect it won't be too long before he's re-signed, just given what he can offer as a big bodied intercepting defender. Should work really well alongside the likes of Nathan Broad and Nick Vlosten, I think. You know, Ben Miller has been serviceable, but kind of gets swung up either ends. They want Noah Bolter as a forward, and then without Josh Kibikas, who they were able to move to the inactive list to get someone like Jacob Blight in. So I think he's going to be one player who will probably see it at the AFL level pretty quickly after his strong start with Peel Thunder and against some pretty decent forwards in the Waffle. And then, as you mentioned, yeah, Campbell Gray, maybe a bit of a surprising one, not one we mentioned in the build up with our prospects list, looking at more of the top end, but kind of a swingman option for them. So has had more of a career as a defender, but has played as a key forward in Essendon's reserves more recently, done really well, and his last performance came against Richmond's reserves. So they've said, obviously, they've tracked him for some time, but they must have really liked what they saw on the weekend when the two teams played. And after playing against the Tigers VFL side on Saturday, he's now probably going to be playing for them this weekend, which is a bit funny. But he'll be a bit more of a long-term prospect for them. You know, they certainly do need that key position forward to help Tom Lynch. You know, Mikhail Tilafau's looked good, but probably not that second option. And Gray might not be that straight away, but he'll certainly get to learn a lot off the likes of Lynch and Bolter. And should be one for the future.
Yeah, lots of upside there. So if you watch our prospects video, we did do, we went positionally and a lot of forward prospects. So Jack Hutchison, Jasper Scaife and Toby Murray all got picked up in the top seven.
Yeah, so a few more that we were expecting to, which is going to be interesting to see where they went. Murray was maybe the more predictable one, just given his ties at Adelaide already in their sample system and his brother Nick playing on their AFL list and how much they've rated him since he's come over from regional Victoria. So, he's going to be a bit of a longer burn, 200 centimetres, lighting it up in the sample necessarily. But I think what he's showing is probably what's given Adelaide the need to probably move and get him on the AFL list as a rookie quicker, just in case there are any other clubs keen to. And, losing him from the sample side still would have had a bit of an impact as well. So, that just getting to make sure that they've got him for at least another year and a half and on the AFL. He certainly could get a chance, more likely next year, if anything. But, he'll be a bit of a longer build and they don't necessarily need him straight away, given the forward options that they've got at the moment. Jasper Scaife, probably, I'd say, the better between him and Jack Hutchison. Hutchison went at, I think it was pick three, but Scaife went at five to the Hawks, and both Scaife probably a better chance of playing sometime this year, just given where Hawthorn's forward line's at with Mitch Lewis sidelined and they're lacking options elsewhere. Gunston's looked good though. Kalshedy has been awesome since coming in, given they probably were hesitant in playing him at all this year. So Scaife hopefully can do the same and start putting some pressure at selection. And then Hutchison, another key forward for West Coast. Maybe not a surprise that they went for a key forward, but they've got some pretty strong stocks, and he adds to a crop that where they have a fair few developing. Like, they picked up Archer Reid in the draft last year. They got Ryan Marrick at pick one in the midseason draft last year. Hutchison might, I think, thankfully won't have to go straight into a senior side and be playing straight away. Not that he couldn't, but I think he'll be afforded some time to develop, which will certainly work in favour of both he and the Eagles. So a few key forwards, obviously, as we mentioned before, Campbell Gray was another one, and a couple more, I think, later on, but they were some of the names that were in high discussions in the build-up and all went in the top seven.
Yep, absolutely. So one of the oldest names on the list is Saad El-Hali, who got picked up by Essendon from the Northern Bullants at pick 13. So a pretty exciting one there.
Yeah, obviously, it's great when you've got some of these players who have, put in a lot of effort at the state league level. And even for like a club like the Northern Bullants, one of those standalone VFL clubs, they had Brendan Ryan picked up last year and now Saad El-Hali this year, which is going to be fantastic to see. And he's probably one of the players who might be the most ready-made. As you mentioned, one of the older ones at 23, I think he was the third oldest to be picked up. And Essendon just looking to get some run onto their list on top of what they've already got. So probably might be best suited at AFL level at half back or on a wing, but can play forward, just explosive, speedy, and a good ball user as well, which is exactly what you like at half back. So he could be an option for them in the second half of the season, but just given where they're at, I think he'll be a good depth player. Get familiar in their VFL system. That's a great pick, and it's always great to see those standalone VFL clubs getting some talent through the top end.
Yep.
Which we thought might be the case for a few players, whether those are the Bullants or Coburg or Williamstown or Frankston. Another side back at Essendon, which is great.
Yeah. Very exciting. So now the Pies obviously have some issues, some injuries in their ruck stock. So tell me about Smith, who they called on.
Yeah, Ilderu Smith. Our predictions, we were thinking a Bryn Teagle might be the one, just given he's pretty much ready to go.
Yeah.
And that they would maybe steer away from the more project ruck option. But it seems like they've gone for, one of the best performing ruckmen in the Coates Talent League, which is certainly going to be great to have on your list. But he's probably not going to be ready this year. And that might come as an issue, given they've only got one fit ruckman at the moment. Mason Cox now out for 6 weeks. Aiden Begg out for the season, which gave them a list spot. And Oscar Steen probably not available for until the back end of the pretty late into the current season. So if Darcy Cameron goes down this weekend, Smith's going to be the only ruck option they've had. similar last year when they pretty much had no ruckman, but Oscar Steen was available. They opted against, you know, kind of throwing him into the deep end, and they used, you know, Billy Frampton, I think Dan McStay. So I think if Cameron was to go down, you know, you're probably looking at Frampton again to jump in and help with the rucks. Ash Johnson's another one. They're getting pulled apart a fair bit, given they've got 16 players on their injury list at the moment. But yeah, Smith's going to be another project ruckman for them. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they kind of shape their list going into 2025, given you know, where Begg and Steen are at as well. So looks like they've got a few you know, budding ruck options for the future, especially given, you know, Cox is into his 30s and Cameron. Not necessarily too old, but you know, will be nearing the twilight of his career as well. So there's they've got some options on the fringes now, which is helpful at least.
Yep, there are a few other names that we didn't cover as much in the preview, but got picked up pretty early. So Cooper Lord to Carlton at pick 9.
Yeah, so probably one of the better players who got overlooked in last year's national draft and rookie draft, and, you know, member of the Sandringham Dragons premiership side, good endurance midfielder. And I think it just Carlton kind of going that we don't need anyone to help fix our list right now. We can just look for the future. And that's what Mick Agresta said, I think earlier in the week, that, you know, the club was kind of looking to get, to just, you know, focus on the longevity instead of just any quick fixes. So he'll come in. A couple others, Logan Evans at Port Adelaide, out of their sample side, I think came over from Norwood, and then joined the reserves, a kind of a halfback option. So interesting one. I you know, we said they'll probably want some outside run, and he could suit that, but he's not going to be an AFL level talent just yet. I think it's just them holding on to someone they've gotten and securing him in for a year and a half as well. He's on one of those longer contracts. Kelsey Ripstra joined the Dogs out of the sample. Good pressure forward. And the club's kind of said that he probably has similar running capabilities as Aidan O'Driscoll, who they lost to retirement and opened up a list spot with. So, nice pressure forward who will learn off guys like Cody Waitman. And probably an area that, maybe they what we kind of flagged they would look at. There were a few other options that we probably named, but Ripstra is, could be a good one for them for sure.
Yep. And we did preview some players that ended up getting overlooked. Mm. So who were those?
Yeah, it's always going to be the case. You know, we had 19 selections. I think we went through 20 to 30 guys, and some of them we had rated quite highly and obviously just didn't quite fall their way. Mm-hmm. But there's certainly names that, you know, still to keep an eye on over the back half of the year into the national and rookie draft, because they certainly would have had some attention, I guess, up into the mid-season draft, and they'll still stay in the sights of some AFL clubs. Oscar Smart was one who we thought the Dogs might look at as a small forward out of Essendon's VFL system. Noah Howes out of South Adelaide, you know, he should get some pretty good attention this year if he stays in South Australia's national championship side like he did on the weekend.
Yep.
So there's going to be plenty of attention there. And then Jess McLennan was probably the one that I thought would be a great get. We saw Luke Beacon go to the Brisbane Lions to, you know, maybe similar players. And I think he would still be a good chance of getting back onto an AFL list down the road if he keeps up his form.
Yep. Absolutely. So we'll take a look at some of the familiar faces in the mid-season draft. Now, you mentioned him before. So Bryn Teagle, getting picked at North Melbourne.
Yeah, so pick 15, which was their second selection. Thought he might have been taken by the Pies, but they opted for Smith instead. But I think deserving of another chance. Obviously trained with Collingwood earlier this year and came close to a list spot, but had a few games at Port Adelaide after being taken in the mid-season draft a couple of years ago. Good ruck forward option, which is pretty much what an area on their list that they would like to fill up a little bit, you know, some support for Nick Larkin forward, but also Tristan Sherry in the ruck. You know, they lose Cal Coleman Jones to a season-ending injury, which gets them that list spot to get Teagle in. So he's one that can have an instant impact for them, and certainly deserving of a spot on an AFL list.
Yep, absolutely. And there was also Ned Long, who might be a familiar name for.
Yeah, ex-Hawk. I think he played a couple games, more as maybe a forward, but has certainly made a name for himself as a midfielder in Collingwood's VFL system this year. And, you know, like Teagle did, he trained with the AFL squad for a large portion, pretty much all of the summer, and has even been doing a bit of training under Craig McRae during the home and away season, despite playing in the VFL, been a standout in their reserves, and can play, could be pretty versatile as well. Like I said, play maybe a bit more forward, but also can probably play across half back too. Given where their you know, injury list is at, probably could be playing this weekend if it wasn't for a little injury concern. That'll be maybe 1 to 2 weeks.
Yep.
So I think once he gets over that little hump, then yeah, he'll be pretty much knocking on the door at selection pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If you know the likes of Jordan Dugowie and a few others are still sidelined, which they will be for at least a month. So there's yeah, it's a good pickup. Another chance for Ned Long, and yeah, one that yeah, could be playing AFL footy again this year.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to be playing. To just get drafted and then the next week you're playing. Yeah. So now you mentioned Tickle and Long certainly can be playing pretty soon. So who else could be playing this year from this mid-season draft? So Payne potentially?
Yeah, yeah, just given where the Roos are at and given his versatility and able to kind of fill a few spots in a side, he certainly could be a chance. There won't be really any harm throwing him to the deep end, but they'll, you know, give him a run in the VFL just a little bit given he's just been playing Talent League footy again this year. So yeah, he'll be one you'd think that at some stage they'll throw a debut to. It took Ryan Marrick, obviously different circumstances, but took Ryan Marrick, I think it was 11 days after the draft, or you know, it was within 2 weeks that he was playing AFL footy. Jacob Blight, as we mentioned, one of the probably or arguably the most ready-made one, and given Richmond facing similar injury issues to Collingwood and Carlton, that he could be one that certainly gets a chance, key defender, and throw him the keys to go up on some pretty decent players and just see what he can do, given they haven't got too much to lose, I'd say, at this point of the season. Al Hawley, like we said before, probably a good chance. Essendon are flying though, and whether they need him is another thing, but I think he could play if they certainly required him to. And then Luke Beacon, who's drafted out of the Woodville West Torrens to Brisbane, one of their three selections, along with Darcy Craven and Will McLaughlin. So I think he was the second oldest behind Tickle at 23 years of age, half back that can play a bit taller as well and offers some great run and some great disposal. So if they, you know, want to kind of add more to their back line, you know, obviously they lost Kitty Coleman for the year. They've got Connor McKenna and Darcy Wilmot, but Beacon certainly could be one or probably a good sub option to have on game day as well. So yeah, there's a few, there's probably a few more that could come in pretty quickly, but I think they're the kind of leading options at the moment.
Yeah. Now, in terms of contracts for the mid-season draft, they offered a 6-month or a 18-month deal. Is that correct?
Well, not offered. They have to opt in. So that's kind of like the gamble you take is if you think you're going to get picked up, maybe you go for 18 months and bank on that security. Obviously, that's something clubs will have to look at as well in their recruitment process is if they think they like a certain player, but they're not sure if they don't want to be tied to them for that whole 18 months, then obviously some other prospects can just go for a 6-month contract.
Yeah.
Just gives you a short window to show what you can do. We have seen players opt for those and not play a game and be cut, you know, pretty brutally in the short window that they're given. But yeah, like I said, it is a bit of a gamble on that front. But we had, I think, there might be 7 or 8 players who went for 18-month deals, and usually they're the ones at the top end. So Jordy Payne, Jack Hutchinson, Max Hall, who went from Box Hill to St Kilda at pick 4, Jasper Scaife, Will McLaughlin, Toby Murray, Ilaro Smith, Logan Evans and Bryn Tickle. So they're all locked into 18-month deals straight away. Everyone else that was picked up will have that 6-month window to really prove that they can hold down that list spot when clubs start, you know, looking towards 2025 and what their squad's going to look like.
Yep. Beautiful. All right. Well, that wraps it up for our recap of the 2024 mid-season draft. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Phoenix.
Don't forget, you can check out our prospects video, which we posted about 2 weeks ago when we were sort of predicting where prospects would potentially go to. And we did some draft profiles for a lot of those top 10, top 7 guys. So they're still up on the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Catch us on the socials and catch all the latest AFL news at zerohanger.com, the number one AFL independent news source.